I once heard a quote that says, "Greatness recognizes greatness and is shadowed by it." Greatness recognizes greatness and is shadowed by it. It is an enigmatic statement in some ways, but also one that immediately resonates with me. Just hearing it makes my heart leap. Greatness recognizes greatness and is shadowed by it. Yes, that's it. That's what I want. That's what we all want, I think. All of us want to be shadowed by greatness. All of us want to be approved by a great man or a great woman who says to us, "I see greatness in you." We want their greatness to cover us like a shadow and to pull greatness out of us so that all the world can see it, so that all the world will know what I've always known about myself, or at least hope for myself, that there is greatness here, just waiting to be recognized, waiting to be released upon the world and lauded by others. Greatness recognizes greatness and is shadowed by it. It was a great day when Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do the people say that I am?" One answers, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still another says Jeremiah or one of the prophets." But Jesus asks again, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answers, "You are the Christ, Son of the living God." This is greatness. And Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Finally, some recognition. Finally, some distinction from the herd. Finally, Peter is seen by Jesus and marked by greatness, for greatness. For greatness recognizes greatness and is shadowed by it. But Jesus interrupts these thoughts and tells his disciples, "The time has come. The time has come for us to go to Jerusalem." Jesus tells the disciples of his greatness. "I must go and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes. I must be killed and on the third day rise." And Peter, the one who has just been kissed by greatness, took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from this, Lord. This shall never happen to you. You are too great." But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. You are not seeing my greatness." Jesus turns and looks at all his disciples and says to them, "This is the greatness of God. This is greatness in the kingdom of heaven. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." And greatness recognizes greatness and is shadowed by it. Come with me. Peter, James, John, let's go up to the mountain. It is a great honor to be invited by Jesus to go with him. Not all were chosen, just the three, and among them, Peter the rock, a man destined for greatness. Who could have imagined what awaited at the summit? As they reached the top, Jesus is suddenly transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white. No one on earth could have bleached them so white. Truly, this was a moment of greatness, and Peter is overwhelmed. "Rabbi," Peter says, "it is good that we are here. Let us make tents and remain in your glory always. Let us bask in your greatness here on the mountain and never leave." But Peter did not know what he was saying. He was terrified by the greatness of God. And Jesus said, "No, Peter, I must go to Jerusalem and give my life over to suffer and die as a ransom for many." Just then a cloud overshadowed them and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." For greatness recognizes greatness and is shadowed by it. "Let us go," Jesus says. "The hour has come for me to be taken out of this world." Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Peter, you are destined for greatness. You are to be my witness and to follow in my glory." At last, Peter thinks, my time has come, my moment of greatness. And as the pride begins to settle in his heart, Jesus looks to Peter and says, "Behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail." Jesus looks to the 12 and says, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." But Peter says, boasting in his greatness, "Never. Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And for a second time, Peter doesn't know what he is saying. And he tells Jesus, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." The shadows are getting longer as night approaches. Jesus makes his way to Gethsemane to pray. It is now dark. And Jesus calls to Peter, saying, my soul is very sorrowful, even unto death. The greatness of my purpose is upon me. Remain here with me and watch with me." "Yes, Jesus, I will watch with you. I will stay with you. I will pray with you. For greatness recognizes greatness and is shadowed by it. And if this is the moment of your greatness, then I will be with you. I will stand with you." And Jesus, going a little further on, fell to his face and prayed. But Peter doesn't stand with Jesus. Doesn't even sit. He sleeps. He's sleeping as the soldiers come to find Jesus. He's sleeping as they enter into the garden. He only awakens because Jesus rouses him, saying, "Sleep and take your rest later. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." The soldiers grab Jesus. They arrest him. They begin to beat him. Now is the moment. Now is the time for action. Now is the moment for greatness. And so Peter can feel the burden of greatness fall upon him in that instant. Having a sword, Peter drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. But Jesus rebukes him. "Put your sword into your sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? Shall I not enter into my greatness?" Peter flees. He flees like a sheep who has no shepherd. He flees and he denies. He flees and he denies. Three times he flees and three times he denies. When he finally hears the cock crow, and all sense of greatness flees from him too. And now, it is only from a distance that he hears the crack of a whip and the cries of agony. From a distance, he hears the crowds cry out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" From a distance, he hears the sound of a hammer and nails as a man yells towards heaven, saying, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Peter hears the sound of greatness, and it sounds like suffering and death. Greatness recognizes greatness and is shadowed by it. Even at a distance, greatness sees. Greatness reaches out, and the long shadow of the cross reaches to Peter and calls him in a boat, saying, "Peter, deny yourself. Take up your cross. Come and follow me." And seeing Jesus at the shore, Peter dives into the water, goes to Jesus, and enters into his greatness. Greatness recognizes greatness and is shadowed by it. That is why Peter speaks to the church tonight. And his words cast a shadow as he says, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd, the overseer of your soul." Greatness recognizes greatness and is shadowed by it. Tonight we are shadowed by the greatness of the cross of Jesus Christ. It calls to us. It invites us to enter in. to enter into his death in order that we might live. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we see the cross and the shadow that it casts. We see the cross and we see and recognize the greatness of the sacrifice that was made in order that we might live. Lord, you invite us to be great. In order to be great, you invite us to humble ourselves, to come to you in humility and to deny ourselves and to take up our cross and to enter into the greatness of your life, your suffering, your death, which leads to resurrection life. Lord, I pray that we might be shadowed by your greatness tonight. Pray, Lord, that we might be brought into the fullness of your passion, the fullness of your love, the fullness of your suffering, and the fullness of your grace in order that we might live. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.